Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, my dear Christian friends. We are at a time of new beginnings, aren't we? It's a brand new academic year here at Concordia Seminary, and first-year students have been moving in, and they're probably trying to figure out what that schedule's going to look like and what the classes are and where they're located on the campus and trying to meet their new fellow students as well. Returning students have come back and they're kind of greeting those classmates they may have not seen for a month or two, ready to start learning again. Professors, I'm sure, have been very busy getting everything set for this coming term. And they've been working on that syllabus, and now it's time to hand that syllabus out to these students and to explain to them what their journey's going to look like during this coming term. Pastors and teachers and deaconesses and DCEs are busy in their parish life getting started for these new beginnings. School is in session. Midweek school has begun. Confirmation classes are about to start again, and a whole myriad of activities for the fall. Last Sunday morning, I went to my home congregation at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nixon, Missouri. And as the worshipers came into the church, we saw these big signs that said this: "Back to school, start off the year right." So I asked myself, so how is it that we start off the year right? And as I was thinking about our readings for today, I see that they have both at least one thing in common, and it's the aspect of humility. And so perhaps this morning, for a few minutes, as we think about this time of new beginnings, we would think about the importance of humility in our lives. Well, it begins with thinking about the humility and our relationship with our gracious and loving God. What it means for us as we begin every morning and as we end every day, we need to come and kneel at the foot of the cross and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, because I sin against you in what I think and what I say and what I do. And I am in desperate need of your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness in my life. I'm totally unworthy by myself. I need you." And he looks at us and he says, "Forgiven." And then, being forgiven, we have the opportunity to take that forgiveness and go live it out in our daily life and live out that Christian humility day to day as we relate to our brothers and sisters in Christ and others as well. So what does that look like? Well, it seems to me that Paul in Philippians chapter 2 helps us understand. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." And so to have that humility in our relationship with one another means that we live together in peace. We live together in unity. We live together in forgiveness, forgiving one another as God in Christ has first forgiven us. Humility in our relationship with God, humility in our relationship with others. Well, is there something of which we might be proud as Christians? Absolutely. We can be proud of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Might we also be proud of something else? We can be very proud and glorify a gracious and loving God who loved us so much that he was really willing to surrender the life of his only son into death on the cross to pay for our sin and our guilt, that we might really be free. Paul says in Galatians 6:14, "May I never boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ." We can boast about a loving God who has forgiven us through that cross and the salvation that is ours. Anything else? Well, we might be able to be very proud of the fact that God has given us his inspired and inerrant word, and it's a word of truth that our world desperately needs to hear, and be very thankful that he's given us the opportunity to share it and to proclaim it with all that we meet in our daily life. Absolutely. There are things that we as Christians might be proud of as they relate to our gracious and loving God. But that sometimes is where it goes on a little farther, isn't it? Maybe sometimes we become a little bit proud of ourselves, a bit proud about who we are, who God has made us to be, or the gifts that he has given to us. And sometimes that pride ends up focusing on myself. There's a big problem with that, isn't there? Oh, I know, we as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we come and we hear these words of Jesus in the gospel. When you go to a banquet, don't go to the very front, because somebody might embarrass you and bring you back down. Go to the lowest seat. And we say, well, it'd be very presumptuous of me to go to some kind of gathering and then to move to the very top and have that place of honor. Oh, I would never do that. And then we stop and think about our own lives and examine our actions and our thoughts. You know, I wonder how I can go and be next to those leaders over there. Because if I'm around them, people might look at me and think, oh, well, maybe he's somebody. Or maybe I could go and be seen by that someone who is very admired and respected in the community that I'm at. And you know, maybe by them seeing me standing alongside, they might escalate their opinion of me. Or maybe sometimes I might decide, I need to drop a name or two so somebody will think I'm important. Or maybe I need to get into that activity of one upsmanship to show how I'm just a little bit better. I can elevate myself and put somebody else down. That's what pride does to us, doesn't it? It's a sin that can so easily entangle us. Luther really helps us kind of understand where we are in terms of our relationship to our gracious God, and that of ourselves we're completely unworthy. He says this way, a man cannot be thoroughly humbled until he gets to know that his salvation lies utterly beyond his own powers, counsels, efforts, will, and works, and depends absolutely on the pleasure, counsel, will, and work of another, namely God alone. For if man, convinced that he is able to do the least thing toward his own salvation, retains confidence in himself and does not utterly despair of himself, he is not humble before God. And then I look at my life and realize, you know, I think sometimes maybe I try to depend too much on me. It's important that I despair of myself. I need a Savior, don't you? And the marvelous good news for you and me today is we have one. We can boast in our Lord Jesus Christ. We can boast in the cross, because there the Lord surrendered his life into death to pay for our sin and our guilt. And if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin removed as far as the east is from the west because of God's grace and mercy for us. And not only has our Lord forgiven us, but he also provides for us that excellent and perfect example of what it means to live that humble Christian life. Again, from Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Humbling himself, becoming the servant, surrendering his life that we might be forgiven and free. We're at a time of new beginnings. How is this term going to start here at the seminary? How is it going to begin in our parishes? A lot of things to do. But may one aspect of that be understanding and striving, never perfectly, but striving to live with humility. First, in our relationship with God, to begin and end the day at the foot of the cross, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then being forgiven, to go and following in the example of Jesus to serve others. May God grant it so, for Christ's sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in true faith and to life everlasting. Amen.